Hey everybody, this is Damien for the DevOps Lab again, and I'm joined today by an MVP, Thomas Rayner.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. So you're here for the MVP Summit, which people might not be familiar with, Most Valuable Professional. It's a group of Microsoft people, not Microsoft people, community people.
Yeah, we're distinctly not Microsoft people. We work closely with Microsoft products, and we disperse and spread technical knowledge and blog posts, public speaking, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But we're distinctly technical people who don't have a blue badge that says Microsoft on it because we don't work here.
Right.
We do all these community activities because we genuinely believe in the products and because we enjoy connecting with the community and giving back.
Right.
And so the MVP award, the Most Valuable Professional Award, is Microsoft's way of thanking us for doing those activities. And that is kind of a special club to belong to, and it comes with a variety of perks, one of them being an invitation to the private event, the Global Summit, where you get to come to Redmond and hear from the product teams and network with other professionals, and it's a really good time.
So this is what you've been doing this week, where what, day two? I've lost track
this
of days.
This is technically day two. There's a pre-day on Sunday, and today would be a Tuesday, so day two.
Yeah, doing the same thing. Awesome. So the MVP program as well has different specialties, like different people or different areas of expertise.
That's right. They categorize you a little bit by product area. And so I'm a cloud and data center management MVP,
right,
which includes topics like Hyper-V and PowerShell, Docker,
okay,
kind of the on-prem hybrid, all cloud sort of catch-all.
Yep.
Not necessarily. There's also categories for Azure, which is distinctly for Azure Functions, Azure Automation, Azure Web Apps, etc.
Yep.
And a whole slew of others. Microsoft offers so many different product categories, it's difficult to enumerate them all.
Yeah, and some of the new ones, I think, are focused a little bit more on open source.
That's right. Yeah. Linux is one of the cloud and data center management categories, subcategories. Right.
That's awesome.
And so you can do a Linux on Azure session, and they'll be very appreciative of that and count it towards your MVP status.
That's very cool. Yeah, if you want to know more about it, by the way, mvp.microsoft.com. You can nominate people. You can actually nominate yourself as well, but make sure other people are going to support you in that.
Yep.
That's a little bit weird if you just nominate yourself and
for a particular reason.
Yeah.
Usually if you're connecting in the community and you're going to events or you're blogging or you're active on social media, you'll know who other MVPs are, and you can kind of discuss the nomination process with them and get a good idea if that is something you're interested in, and odds are one of the other MVPs will nominate you.
Yeah, awesome. So let's jump away from the MVP Summit a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're here this week and sharing an MVP Wi-Fi at the headquarters at Microsoft with a whole bunch of people.
Yes.
And we were talking before that you were jumping onto the Azure portal to do a few things, and it was a little bit slow just because of the congestion. There's 2,000 MVPs here.
Yeah, exactly. There's 2,000 MVPs sharing what I assume is one wireless access point.
Yeah.
And it's the traditional conference Wi-Fi story. It's a little slow, a little congested. First thing in the morning, everybody's getting in and checking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to check out a few of the things I was doing in Azure Automation and realized there's a lot of images and processing and things that happen in portal.azure.com.
Yep.
And there's an Azure RM.automation PowerShell module that does all of this things that I'm trying to do and a lot more.
Okay.
And so why would I go and load all that stuff when I can just poke around in the shell and get exactly what I'm looking for?
So you mentioned it was Azure RM.
Yes, there's an Azure RM module, the RM being for Resource Manager,
mm-hmm,
which is the deployment model, not classic, but Resource Manager.
Gotcha.
And there's a whole bunch of submodules for automation, for functions, for cognitive services, for every different component of Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Azure RM module itself is a wrapper that loads all of those other submodules.
Right.
And it makes it easy for, if I don't know if this commandlet is part of this module or that product or whatever, load them all and see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you know exactly what you're looking for, like I've just got the Azure RM dot automation module loaded up.
Okay.
And so it saved me loading all those other modules.
So let's jump in, actually. Let's have a look and see what
sure.
what you were doing instead of jumping into the portal, which is a bit quicker.
Right, so on my screen, I've just got, this is PowerShell. It's in ConEmu, which is just a console emulator, but this could be the PowerShell.exe console. Mm-hmm. And I'm logged into Azure already because that still uses some of the MFA and browser techniques, and that took a little bit. But if I wanted just to create and provision some new resources, it's easy. There's stuff already built in here for new Azure RM resource group. Mm-hmm. Searches a little bit and finds it. There we go. Found it. And then I need to give it name. We'll just name it DevOps Lab. And it needs a location. We'll go west, US, because that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. And just like that, I've got a new resource group created. I could do this in the portal as well, obviously, but I don't have to. I can do it just in the PowerShell console, and it's already done. It comes back with the name, the provisioning state to tell me it worked. Mm-hmm. After that, I need a new Azure RM automation account. And I'm going to stop using tab completion really soon. Wow. I need to make it stop searching this share first. And it gets a resource group, the automation. Everything lives in a resource group in Azure, as we all know and love. Mm-hmm. DevOps-lab. And it needs a name. We'll name it DevOps. AA for automation account,
okay.
Just for demo purposes. And this needs a location as well, and we'll put it in Canada Central.
So this is a cool thing about PowerShell as well. Right. It needed one of the arguments, and so it didn't get it. So
exactly, and so what's happened to me here is Canada Central wasn't a valid location, which is telling me there's a set of valid locations that I can pick from. Mm-hmm. So if I want to try this again, I can just go into the previous command, and I can tab complete. I can tab through and see I can put it in Japan East, East US 2, West Europe, Brazil, so anywhere that I want to put an automation account. And so what I did to get this was, as I was at this point in the console, as I held down Control and hit Space, and that's a function of a module called PS Readline, which ships with Windows 10. It was written by a person on the PowerShell team.
Right.
And I can put this here in Canada Central. I can use the arrow keys to move around if I want. This is a handy way of exploring. Mm. If I didn't do that, I could just tab through.
Yep.
And these are the same options that would have been available to me. And we'll just go Canada Central. And now I've got my automation account provisioned.
Great.
So I've got a handy, very handy run book that I want to have running in Azure. This is exactly what I was doing this morning. This was the deployment that I had in mind. And what it does is this will deliver me a number between 1 and 10. Critical, mission critical.
Yep.
Had to happen this morning. Couldn't wait for me to get home. None of my coworkers could handle it but me. So what I can do now is I can use the import Azure RM automation run book. And this will ask me for a path, which is the local path to my funtimes.ps1. That's the name of the file that I've got. Mm-hmm. And then I can give it a description, returns a mission critical number. And I can keep tab completing. Name, we'll name it funtimes just on its own. Tags, I can give it a hash table of different tags. These are the same tags you see in Azure, mm-hmm. Which are really handy for helping group resources outside of different resource groups. And then it asked me for a type. This is, again, just like provisioning a runbook in Azure Automation. I can make it a graphical. I can make it graphical PowerShell, PowerShell workflows. Python 2 is in preview right now as we're recording. And I'm just going to make mine PowerShell. Again, I can give it the published switch, which will skip just saving as a draft and publish it so I can run it. And I'll force it as well. That should be all I need. Nope, I lied. Resource group name. Everything needs a resource group, right? DevOps Lab needs an automation account, DevOps AA. How could I forget the two things you need on every single automation commandlet? And just like that, that happened basically instantly as we're waiting for it. It tells me the location, runbook type, states published, automation account, resource group name, everything else. And the description, the tags, if I'd put them in there. Mm-hmm. And this obviously happens a lot quicker than waiting for it to generate that screen. And oh, you have to go hit publish and it'll load, and the four dots of loading doom that we all love.
Yep.
This just comes back and works.
So this is really handy, especially if you're doing this kind of thing regularly.
Exactly.
So if you're, yeah, if you're publishing new runbooks and things like that on a regular basis, you might have scripts to automate most of these arguments and things like that. And
well, and the great thing about that is that means it can be part of your CI CD pipeline. It can be in it can be in VSTS, it can be in Jenkins, it can be in whatever you want.
Yep.
And all of these PowerShell commandlets are available on the cloud-hosted environments that run in VSTS. They're available on anything that runs Windows. And you can do this as part of automated testing. Spin it up, run it, try to test it against this development subscription, mm-hmm. see if that works. Okay, good, kill it all, delete the resource group and all the stuff that went with it. And then now we're going to push it to prod, or we're going to push it to our user acceptance testing, or whatever the next step is.
And because we're ultimately just on a command line here, it doesn't really need your laptop. It doesn't need your environment.
Yeah, it can run on anything, that as long as you have the ability to authenticate into Azure with it. So you set up a service principal mm-hmm. and authenticate that way using a certificate, and you're away to the races.
Awesome. Yeah. So you've created this runbook now.
Mm-hmm.
Can we run it, see what it's done?
We can. We can either pop open the browser and look at it, but that would kind of defeat the purpose of what we're doing here.
Yep.
So handily, there's start Azure RM automation runbook. And that'll ask me for the name of the runbook that I want to run. And we named it Fun Times. I'm such a good typer. This one doesn't take any parameters.
Mm-hmm.
If it did, I'd pass it a hash table with the parameter name and then the value.
Yep.
Run on. I can run this on a worker on premise, or I can run it in a cloud hosted environment.
Yep.
I don't have any. By default, it'll just run in the cloud hosted environment, so I won't do it. I can make this wait for it to run,
right.
To make it run synchronously. Max wait seconds in case it times out, and then just resource group name is what I'm actually looking for here. So DevOps Lab. That tab completed. Automation account name DevOps. And that's all I need to run this.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I can do this is because I specified the published switch. You can only actually start a published runbook.
Right.
Normally, if you're looking at it in the browser, you'd have a test pane, and you can run the test, and it runs live. It actually does it. But the scheduling aspect, webhooks, any other way of normally triggering a runbook don't work against things that are in an edit state, things that you have to only do it in the test pane because you're actually testing it there. Once it's published, then you can put a schedule on it. Then you can trigger it with webhooks, and you can trigger it with the start Azure automation.
And that's pretty important as well, because if you're automating this kind of stuff, then you don't want to publish your stuff to a test location and then jump into a portal and manually click through to make sure things work. You want to be able to automate everything.
Yeah, you have to be able to do, like if you're going to do some of it from the shell, you have to be able to do all of it from the shell.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is, this is the Azure RM module is basically just triggering different Azure APIs.
Right.
You could write all of this yourself if you knew how to play with the APIs properly. And that's more or less what the portal is doing, is it's wrapping the APIs in a graphical element. So you can expect a pretty similar experience,
mm-hmm.
although differently, GUI versus shell.
Right.
So there it's run. This is showing me that it started. And the status details is none because it's still getting me a cloud hosted environment to run it on, and it's still got to start and take off.
Mm-hmm.
And because we didn't specify wait, it just told me, okay, it started.
Right.
So what I can do to check on it, this is pretty minimal runbook, so I can go get Azure RM automation job. And when you kick off a runbook, when you start a runbook, that instantiates a job. Right. And so that's what the instance of having run a runbook is called. So I'll get automation job, and I can get the ID that it returned me here.
Yep.
Make that nice and easy to copy and paste. Resource group name, DevOps, lab, automation account name, DevOps, AA. And now it shows me basically what it showed. Whoa, come here. Why don't we just go there? It shows me basically what it showed me before, where it's all the same field names. Mm-hmm. It's showing me all the job ID, creation time, status. But here the status is new because we just kicked it off. And now the status on the one that we just did is completed because it's done running. So what was our random number?
Yeah, that's the next question. So it's run. It's not giving the answer there, but I suppose the job doesn't know anything about the...
Right. This is the job itself. It's not got the output attached to it. What if it had an error? Maybe it would say failed or something, or it would give us it would give us a bit of a hint as to what happened.
Yeah.
But I want to see the error. I want to see the output.
And once again, you don't want to jump into the portal to do this because, again, that defeats the purpose.
Yeah, exactly. What am I doing opening the portal at this stage in the game?
Yeah.
So what I can do, you might have guessed, there's a get Azure RM automation. So as we're looking at the output, I forgot to actually specify the ID parameter. Really what happened was I hit enter before I was ready to. I was trying to paste in the ID and that didn't work.
Yep.
So, and it took a little while to fail. So I got the ID in there. The next parameter that it wants me to include is stream. And the values for stream are any debug, error, output, progress, verbose, and warning. And this is what I'm really after here, is which of the different streams am I after. I can get the any stream, which will show me everything and anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can get just the error stream in case there's lots of regular output, but there's also a few errors interspersed that I don't want to have to sift through. I can get the output stream, which is what it sounds like, progress, verbose, warning. In this case, I'm just going to go any because I know what's going to come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, start time, I can specify if I want to. And then just resource group name is DevOps lab. And the automation account name is DevOps AA. And this is my output. This is an output object. It shows me the resource group that it came from, the automation account that it came from, the job ID that it came from. Then this stream record ID, you can see begins with the job ID.
Yep.
And then there's a unique number, unique identifier for the message itself, for the record in the stream of messages. The time that it was created, the type, and then the summary, so what we actually care about, is 2. That was a random number.
So this would, if you were doing this as part of your automated process, your CI/CD process, for example, this is the way you'd get all of this stuff out.
Exactly. You would go and find that job programmatically, and you would check, hey, are there any errors?
Yep.
Because maybe you're expecting an error in a certain situation, and you're expecting it to have a certain message, and you're expecting no errors in a different situation with different inputs.
Yep.
And so how many errors are there? Was the output formatted correctly? I was expecting a username and then a colon and then a path on a file system. Is that what I got out? And you can determine that programmatically with PowerShell. You just get the automation job output for that job and then look at the summary of it. And you can do your string manipulation and figure out if that fits the pattern you're looking for.
Great. And then at the end of this, you can tear everything down if you don't need it anymore.
That's right. If we're done with this, it's a remove Azure RM resource group, and then you specify the name, and I won't do it now, but that'll be my cleanup for this, is just delete the resource group. It'll get rid of my automation account. It'll get rid of my runbooks. It'll get rid of any assets that I had created if I had to store credentials, and it'll just blow it all away. The jobs, the output, everything like that.
That's very
and
cool.
And then that's your automated test.
Yeah.
That's your integration test.
Yep. Yeah. So one last thing just before we wrap up. All of these modules that you're using at the moment, how do you get them?
So they're all in the PowerShell gallery. If you look in, you can go find find module. I haven't loaded that command line.
So this is the Azure PowerShell, not Azure though.
No, it's not just Azure. Yeah, the Azure module is one of the most popular ones there, but the service itself is called the PowerShell Gallery. You can go to powershellgallery.com and look at it, but it's a effectively a NuGet repository that works with the package management and the PowerShell Get modules that ship with Windows 10. Mm-hmm. And so you can get a whole bunch of modules from the community, a whole bunch of modules from Microsoft, and you can download them there. We use Find to search for them, and so I can search for the Azure RM module. I'll specify my repository, starts with a P, as PS Gallery, because I've got a few of my own on here that I've also added. And it will reach out and search for any of the modules that might be named Azure RM.
Okay.
So that won't necessarily show me the submodules, but they're all dependencies, so they should all come back together. Great. Now, maybe conference Wi-Fi, this will take a little bit to return.
Yeah.
Because it's got to reach out and actually get the information, calculate it, and return it. And there's tons and tons of modules there. I've written some, lots of people at Microsoft have written a variety of modules, and there you can come back and see version 5.4.1 of the Azure RM modules there. And we can compare this. If I go get module list available, this will and get me all the Azure, the instances of the Azure RM module that I have on my local system.
Right.
And as I look at that, I can compare it to see if the the version that's in the gallery is newer than the version that's on my system.
So you can
and
see
if I need to, I'm out of date. This must, this reflects well on me. I have the old 5.1.1. I got 5.3.0, which would have been the one that we've been running with.
Yep.
And there's 5.4.1 available for me to download and install and update all my good stuff.
Very cool.
Probably when I'm on Wi-Fi that I own.
Yes, exactly. Well, we'll put stuff about this in the show notes as well to make it a bit
absolutely
easier for people to jump in. But thanks so much for showing me this. It's kind of an awesome way that people don't always think about of using Azure.
Exactly.
Especially if you're dealing with resources that you want to spin up and do some stuff and tear them down at the end of it in an automated way.
You're absolutely right. The portal is great for poking around and exploring and discovery, but you can't touch PowerShell's effectiveness for automating these tasks and for dealing with them in an unattended way and for dealing with them in bulk as well.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks so much again.
My
and
pleasure.
Enjoy the rest of the MVP Summit.
I will.
Yeah, whatever day it is, and Tuesday, right? We decided on Tuesday?
I think that was the consensus.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, thanks for joining me, everyone, and I'll see you next time on the DevOps Lab.